I want to actually challenge you this morning. And I'm starting a little bit early because I want to allow time for the Lord to work. I have no idea what he'll do at the end of this. And I want us just to relax and to know the presence of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to stir up the fire. Do you know the believers in the book of Acts? They lived in step with the Holy Spirit. They saw great results of their witnessing and their service for Jesus. They saw those results because of their surrender. Everyone say that word, surrender. Surrender. When I think of surrender, years ago when I was little, we watched a little show called Gunsmoke. Anybody watch that? Yeah, there's a few hands up there. Well, you know, the guy would sneak up behind the other fellow and he'd stick him up. And oh yeah. That was surrender to most of us. We think that you know, we're forced to worship or forced to surrender. And I got to tell you, I would never force you to receive anything from God. I don't think that's how he works. Somebody said to me that the Spirit of God was a perfect gentleman. And I believe them to a point. Because there are times when we are confronted by the things of the Spirit. Ananias and Sapphira were one couple that were confronted when they lied to the Spirit of God. They saw death. I would say, if I saw that in church, I would say that's not very, what shall I say, gentlemanly? Could I say that word? Is that even a word? You see. I don't know that he's a perfect gentleman, but he does not force himself on you. When we think of surrender, it is an action of the heart. I surrender my all to him. You know, we sing that song, he is my everything, he is my all. That's the relationship that I have. I just want to surrender to him. That's actually how the early church did some of the things that they did. It was a perfect surrender. In Acts chapter 11, verse 19 to 21, it reads like this. Meanwhile, the believers... Everyone say the believers. Thank you. Everyone say the believers. Meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered abroad during the persecution, there was stuff that began to happen after Stephen's death, and the believers scattered. The believers scattered. They weren't unbelievers. They were believers that scattered. There was persecution after Stephen's death. They traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyrus, Antioch of Syria. The Bible says they preached the word of God, but some only went to Jews. However, some of the believers, there it is again, say word believer, for that word believer, say it with me. Some of the believers were sent to Antioch from Cyrus and Cyrene, began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. And the scripture says, the power of the Lord was with them. The power of the Lord was with them. Where in the world did they get that power? That's basically what we want to share with you. The power of the Lord was with him, and a large number of Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. There's two interesting to me Bible words. One is the word baptized, and that word means to make fully overwhelmed, fully wet, immersed, or to plunge, to sink, to submerge. Baptized. And then there's another word that talks about being filled. And that word filled means to cram, to make completely full. How do you see a glass? Do you see it half empty or half full? What do you feel like in your soul, in your spirit? Do you feel half empty? Do you need a filling? Do you need to be filled with the Spirit? In John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus says, "He that believes on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Rivers of living water. Are you in need of a fresh flow from the Spirit? Rivers. That sounds pretty full to me. Then, that scripture comes from John 7, verse 37 says, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stands up and he shouts it to the crowd. And he said, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the Scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. You know, when we talk about being baptized or filled with the Spirit, it is only for believers. If you don't believe that you can be filled, you won't be filled. You need to be a believer in Jesus. Now, we'll explain this as our time together goes on. But if you would remember, in John chapter 4, Jesus speaks to the woman at the well, and he asked her, "Give me a drink." And she says, "Well, how can I do that?" Anyway, Jesus says to her, "If you only knew the gift of God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again." It becomes fresh. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Now, when we begin to look at this topic in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, a lot of scriptures I have for you this morning, John begins to speak, and John says, "I baptize with water." In other words, I totally immerse people in water for those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But there's someone coming soon after me who is greater than I. So much greater that I am not worthy to even as a slave or carry his sandals. He will baptize, he will totally immerse you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John speaks in Mark chapter 1, "I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In John chapter 1, 33, John speaking, he says, "I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" In Acts chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus says about John, "John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized, immersed with the Holy Spirit." Peter, when the outpouring was coming on new Christians in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 11, actually, in verse 16, Peter speaks and he says, "I thought of what the Lord said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Let me say this, that being baptized with the Holy Spirit is only just the start. It's only just the start. We think, as Pentecostals, we think about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Whenever we talk about that, we usually talk about the special languages that you receive when you are initially filled. This is interesting. The goal is not speaking in tongues. The goal is being baptized or immersed. You cannot be baptized or immersed without surrender. I remember I was one of the pastors on staff in Sault Ste. Marie, and the pastor and I were baptizing people in water in Lake Superior. Lake Superior is very cold. It's the coldest of the Great Lakes. Very cold. And the pastor had a couple of men working with him. I had a couple of men working with me. We were each baptizing. We had a good crowd. And we're just baptizing people. And this one came to me. She wanted, because of our ministry to her, she wanted us to do her water baptism. And she's afraid of water. And making a long story short, I put her down and she struggles on me in the water. And the top of her head didn't get wet. I bring her back up and I says, "Pastor, this one she didn't get all wet." He says, "Put her down again." So we put her down again. We got her all wet this time and she come up just praising God. Praise the Lord. It was an awesome experience. Being baptized in water, there is surrender to it. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit, there must be surrender. It's something you desire. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 20 says something so interesting. I've referred to it a few times this morning. It says, verse 15, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise." Verse 16, "Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life." By the way, I'll just comment a little bit. I've worked with young offenders and also with addiction services, and I see all the time how strong drinks ruins lives and ruins marriages and families. And it is a merry-go-round and a trap they don't know how to get out of. But it is possible to be free from all those addictions. "Don't be drunk with wine, because that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Verse 19 says, "Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making melody to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how our translations have rendered it. In Acts 2, verse 4 says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said they would be baptized. And in the book of Acts, they were filled. Something happened when the supernatural come in contact with the natural. This wasn't a normal happening. Nor was it all about having an experience, a one-time experience. Please understand this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is just not a one-time happening. Turn to your neighbor and say, "It's not a one-time happening." If it's not a one-time happening, then what is it? Well, I can see that opening my iPad was not a one-time happening. It just kind of, whoop. Not a one-time happening. Thank you, Jesus. I found in the scripture about 18 verses. I'm not going to go through all 18. I will highlight them. I found 18 verses that use the term filled with the Spirit. It must be something that we actually have happened in our lives. If the scripture uses the term so often, then doesn't it make sense that we need to be filled with the Spirit? Huh. Yes, there were people even in the Old Testament that were filled with the Spirit for special occasions. And in Luke 1:15, talked about John, that he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. There was Elizabeth that was filled with the Holy Spirit when she heard heard Mary's greeting. The baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says of Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible actually says, get this, that he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. We think that the Holy Spirit will not lead us into any trouble. But there are times that we need some teaching, we need some strengthening, we need some building, we go through stuff. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Take heart, he said, I have overcome. And if he's overcome, he walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. And matter of fact, when he came out of the wilderness, he came out full of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that led him into the wilderness. He comes out of the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. He went about healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, but he was full of the Holy Spirit. We hear about Paul, who was filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter, who was filled with the Holy Spirit. Talk about how different ones in the book of Acts were filled with the Spirit. Well, I believe that Jesus promised the outpouring or the to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1, in verses 4 to 5, also verse 8. They received the promise of the Father. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Actually, the Lord breathed into them. But in Luke chapter 24 is a really interesting word. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name and to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And I now will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and what? Fills you with power from heaven. Question, were the disciples saved? Yes. He breathed in them the Holy Spirit, but they also had to and came to the place where they accepted the death and the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, they were eyewitnesses. They confirmed because they saw Jesus. They believed in Jesus. So, Peter was amongst those that were filled and baptized with the Spirit in Acts 2, verse 4. It says, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in another language as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. If you read Acts chapter 4, verse 8, Peter is there in with the crowd. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, begins to preach to them. Rulers and elders, there are some people that believe that that was another occasion when Peter was filled with the Spirit and he begins to preach. If you look in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, Peter is there again. And if you look, it says, after the prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter was there. He too was filled with the Spirit. Peter was a part of the company of believers that were there to filled with the Spirit. Well, didn't he get it the first time when the outpouring was there? He was there in the book of Acts 2 and 4 when suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the place, and it was like tongues of fire that sat on each of them. And they began to speak. Wasn't Peter there? Yes, he was there. But he was also present on other occasions when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And the Bible just says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It seems that, to me anyway, as I study the Scripture, that new emergencies or new, when there was new avenues of service presented to these first century believers, that something took place. And there was a refilling? Each time they were confronted with an obstacle, or there was a new area of ministry, it seems like there was a new impartation. They were filled. They were begin to not just worship the Lord, not just pray, but the Holy Spirit filled them up afresh. If we have received the baptism, if you're here and you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't rely on the initial filling, but go on being filled continuously with the Spirit. Our scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, literally, the literal rendition of the scripture says, be ye always being filled. Be ye always being filled. I would submit to you this. I believe when I first was filled with or baptized with the Holy Spirit, I was 11 years old. I had other experiences after that where I was just overwhelmed. It was not like the first. It was better. I remember a man came to our church, and it just happened to be, we didn't find this out till years after, that the man that prayed for me was the man I ended up traveling with years later. A short, stout little guy that knew judo and the whole nine yards laid his hands on me. And I got to tell you, he began to prophesy over my sister and I. And out of my belly flew, oh my, I can't tell you of the pressure of the Spirit I felt. Out of my belly flow rivers. You talk about rivers. I tell you, I experienced it. And it's for you that are old, and it's for you that are young. That's what Peter said. And it's for those that are even as far off. It doesn't even matter what country we are. Dawn's here, she can testify to what happened in Littleton when we were leading a worship time, and I didn't remember. I really didn't until she reminded us of the last time that she was with us. And by the way, nice to see you, Dawn. She ministers in India along with her husband, and it's really nice to have them in our country. But anyway, we were leading worship, and if I recall the story, we were in our worship. We begin to praise the Lord in another language. She's shaking her head. I'm telling the story right and accurately. I was in Bible school, sitting next to a fellow. He was a missionary from Zimbabwe, and we were during times of prayer. And I was, as far as I was concerned, I was praying to God in another language, in an unknown language. I hadn't learned the language from any school or anything, and I began to pray. I thought, in the Spirit, as the Spirit was giving me utterance. And all of a sudden, a little bit later, it was like we were having a conversation. This gentleman from Zimbabwe was the general secretary to the Assemblies of God in Zimbabwe. So he was not a novice. He was a seasoned pastor there in Bible school to get some upgrading in his studies. And the next thing I know, we're having like a conversation. To make a long story short, he came to me the next day and he said, "Ron, do you know what happened?" And I says, "I don't have a clue." It was like we were having a conversation. He says, "You are exactly right. You were speaking my language in perfect dialect." Perfect. Unbelievable. And this was a long conversation. This must have went on, I don't know, for a long time. He says, "Yes, you were praising the Lord, but we were also talking about the next steps for me in our ministry there." That just blew me away. Because you can't plan it. It's not by might, nor by our own power, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord. I was just there surrendering to God as far as I was concerned, and all God did was, wow, I couldn't speak any English until I reached the threshold of my door in the dorms. It does happen. Special languages does happen. It happened on the day of Pentecost. But you see, what I'm trying to say to you, the goal is not special languages. The goal is being filled with the Spirit. Because being filled with the Spirit means that you have the power that goes along with. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Be always being filled. That means controlled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. To some of you, that freaks you out. You don't know if you want to be filled with the Spirit or controlled by the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's the most wonderful thing. But it is not just an experience. It's not just a happening. It's receiving the very power of God to be witnesses. There are three things that I get when I understand from the Greek text, be being filled, controlled with the Holy Spirit. Actually, the actual reading goes, being filled with Holy Spirit. First, it's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Turn to your neighbor and say, "It's a command to you." Now, you tell him, It's a command to me too. Oh my. It's a command to me too. God expects us to walk continuously and to walk at all times under the control of the Spirit. You say, well, I don't know if I want that. I'm going to be so heavenly minded, I'm not going to be any earthly good. Oh yes, you will be earthly good. You will be of more good to earth, filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was. And he didn't walk weird or do strange things. Yes, there was unusual miracles. The reason it's necessary that God wants us to be continuously and walking at all times under the control of the Spirit, because we just need to be continuously available. Let's face it, I walk in this life and there are times when it doesn't seem like I am very filled. There's times that I've actually prayed for people and I don't especially feel very holy or sanctified or special or anything. But I fulfill the command of the Father to pray. You know what's the interesting thing is? Things happen. Just because of obedience. It's not a religious experience. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The second thing I noticed, well, let me say, this command is to be filled, or should I say, topped up by the Spirit. During those moments that you don't feel like very spiritual, or that you need more power, or you're confronted with stuff in your life, or you hear bad news, sometimes your spirit can get down. Those are the times when you just need to pray in the Spirit. The second thing I realize that the article "the" is missing in the Greek text. Be always being filled with Holy Spirit. My wife and I talked a little bit about this when we were at the Holy Spirit conference in Nova Scotia recently. They talked about Holy Spirit. They didn't talk about the Holy Spirit like it was an outward demonstration or something. They talked about Holy Spirit like he was a real person. And you know what? He is. He is. He is. We talk about God the Father. We talk about God the Son. But God, the Holy Spirit, he's a person too. I say it like this. We serve one God, but he works so closely together. All three members work so closely together, you cannot tell them apart. Their Father promised, the Father made the promise, Jesus sends, the Holy Spirit does. It's almost like, to me, the best way that I can describe God is, God the Father is like the brain, the thinker. And Jesus, well, he is the speaker. He is the visible representation. And then there's Holy Spirit. And he is the power or the muscle of God. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. The third thing is Paul commands us to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit on the basis that we have already received an initial filling or baptism. That's the basis. The baptism with the Holy Spirit is for every believer in every age, and everyone is to be continuously filled and controlled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit. There's more that I want to say about this, but I'm going to come back to it at a later time. I want to share with you an illustration for the sake of time. We had some folks over to our house to have a campfire. You know the interesting thing? It was really hard to keep that campfire going. I haven't yet discovered how to make a continual fire. The fire goes out. The embers burn down. I have to do one of two things. I have to stir the wood pile that's burning, or I have to put another log on it. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit's the same way. I have to fuel the fire, have it stirred up. And I have to tell you, I don't know that it's something that I can do other than the Bible says they that are hunger, that hunger and thirst after righteousness, doesn't say might be filled, shall be filled. Thank you, Jesus. Though that hunger and thirst. Let me ask you, do you just come to church because it's the thing to do? Or do you come to church expecting to meet God? And do you come to church expecting to receive something or to give something? I'm talking about giving of our praise and our worship. I would that, therefore, brethren, that you would be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that good and perfect and will of God is. You see, we cannot do that on our own. We must have the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I get it. I'll be talking about this in another morning. Yes, I get it. We do have the Holy Spirit when we're saved. Okay? We do have the Holy Spirit when we're saved. You know, if I receive a device from the store and say it's a flashlight and it tells me on the package, batteries not included. You ever had that experience? Batteries aren't included. Well, when you come to Christ, your battery, the Spirit is in you. When you come to Jesus, you have the Spirit of Christ. I can show you from Scripture and will at another time. But this baptism, this filling seems to be an addition to just being saved. Otherwise, we would not have these 18 scriptures that talk, even mention about being baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. You say, man, I didn't even know. I didn't even know that this existed. Well, Paul, the apostle, come across some believers. And Peter also come across some believers that they were saved. Have you received, the scripture reads, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? We didn't even know that there was such a spirit. We didn't even know there was an addition. One place, as the speaker was speaking, the Spirit of the Lord poured out and they spoke in other languages and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You see. There must be an addition to just being saved. But there must be a willingness to be filled. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There must be. There must be. Welcome, Holy Spirit. We are in your presence. Fill us with your power. live inside of me. You're the living water, never drying fountain, comforter and counselor, take complete control. Heavenly Father, in the quietness of this moment, we come to you, not through our own good works, but through the knowledge that Jesus has taken away our sin. We give you time right now to talk to God, to surrender yourself. I can't do it for you. There is a receiving. Have you received since you believed? Thank you. And maybe today is a start of the process. It can happen during a service. It can happen in your home. My brother-in-law received his baptism at night. He woke up and began to speak and was speaking in an unknown language. It's not the language, but it's the power. The language is just an initial so that we know that we've been filled. But it is also a wonderful language that when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, Himself intercedes through us. So we submit to you, Lord. We ask that this would be a start. Open our eyes and open our ears. And soften our hearts so that we will turn to you and be healed, restored, refreshed, and empowered in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Some of you may wish to sit in the presence of God for a little bit. Others, if you wish to go, you go with God's blessing. No one will, and no one is judging anyone. We're just here to engage with God. If you want to sit, that's wonderful. But if you need to go, God bless you. May the light of His countenance go with you. And bring you each day closer and closer to Him until Christ be formed in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.